Today's blot is Daf Ayin Pei Dalet, and we will begin on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, the last words, Amar Rava. Just to review what we learned yesterday. Yesterday we learned in the Mishnah that a boat is not Mekabel Tumah. And when we learned the Mishnah, we said the reason was, the Mishnah told us the reason, is because the Pasuk says, Mishlei derech aniya b'lev yom. A boat goes in the ocean. And we learned that just like an ocean is not Mekabel Tumah, so too a boat is not Mekabel Tumah. Then we learned in the Gemara a different reason why a boat is not Mekabel Tumah. Chananya's reason. Because since the Torah compares Kli'etz, wooden utensils, to sack, so we say in order for wood utensils to be Mekabel Tumah, to be susceptible to Tumah, they have to have the same characteristics as sack. Mas sack metalt the mol of reken, just like sack is something that's movable both when it's full and when it's empty, af kli'etz ain't a Mekabel Tumah, so to wooden utensils are not Mekabel Tumah, not susceptible to Tumah, ella metalim mali v'reken, only if they are movable both when they're full and when they're empty. And we said that what was the nafkamina between those two pshatim? The Gemara said two nafkaminas. One was if you'll have a boat that's made out of cheres, that's made out of earthenware, according to the reason of Derech Aniya B'lev Yam, that boat will not be Mekabel Tumah. But if the reason is because of Metaltum Mol of Erekun, that has to be movable when it's full and empty, that only applies to Kliyates, but not to Klicheres. Another Nafkamina the Gemara said would be Svinas Hayardin, a small boat. A small boat is, if we say the reason is because of Derech Aniya B'lev Yam, it's a small boat. It goes in, it does make a difference, it's small or big. It goes in the Yam, it's not Mekabel Tumah. But if the reason is because Metaltal Mali V'Rekon, a small boat is Metaltal Mali V'Rekon, is movable, and therefore will be Mekabel Tumah. Now where the Gemara begins to discuss is this issue of Metaltal Mali V'Rekon. How do we define Metaltal Mali V'Rekon? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Ula Chananya. Chananya that talked about Metaltal Mali V'Rekon, Tiltal Ayidei Shvarim. If something is movable, but it's only movable by accident, it needs strong animals to move it, Shmei Tiltal, it's still considered movable. And Tosfos immediately points out that when Rava says that this discussion we're going to have now is relevant to Chananya, says Tosfos, it's not only relevant to Chananya, it's also relevant according to the Rabbanan, who don't agree with Chananya's position regarding a boat. Because they may not say that the reason a boat is not susceptible to Tumah is because of Metal Tumah of Erekon, but they still agree to this concept that Kli'etz are only Mekabel Tumah, that wooden utensils are only susceptible to Tumah when the Metal Tumah of Erekon, when the movable boat went full and empty. So therefore the Gemara, even according to Rabbanon, needs to understand what does Metalta Mol of Erekon mean. So the Gemara says that even if it's movable through accident, it's still considered movable when full. The Tanan, where we learn this, because it says a Mishnah Masech Tekelim, Sholosh Agolos Haim, there are three types of wagons as far as Kabbalah's Tumah. Asuya Katedra, if the wagon is shaped like a chair, Tamei Medrash, it's susceptible to Tumas Medrash, which as we've been explaining many times, Tumas Medrash is the Tumah which the Torah says is unique to a Zav and to a Nida, that what they sit or lay on becomes Tamei. Since this chair is this wagon is designated for sitting, it has Tumas Medrash. Kamita, if it's built like a bed, Tamei Tumas Mes, it has susceptibility to Tumas Mes, but not to Tumas Medrash. Now the question is very obvious, Rashi's question. If it's shaped like a bed, so it's something that a zav or a knee to kalei on, sit on. So why is there no tumas medris? So Rashi explains that for an item to be susceptible to tumas medris, it has to be an item which is primarily intended as a resting place for people. But if a person would sit or lay down on this bed, and we could go over to him and tell him, Amoid v'nasa malachtenu, please get up, because we have to use this bed or couch for something else. That proves that it's not intended for sitting or laying, and therefore it will not be susceptible to tumas medris. This bed is made primarily that items should be carried on top of it, not for people to lay on, sit on it, and therefore it's not susceptible to tumas medris. Rashi further points out that even though we're saying it's not susceptible to tumas medris, and it is susceptible to tumas mess, it's really susceptible to all types of tumas. The only tumah it will not be susceptible to is tumas medris. So why does the Braisa mention, why does the Mishnah mention tumas mess, not the other tumas? So Rashi says, since all the other tumas will not make it into an avatumah, which is a very high level of tumah, it will only make it into a rishon l'tumah, which is a lower level of tumah. That's why the Mishnah chose to mention tumas mess, but it doesn't only mean tumas mess, it means all types of tumas. Shalavonim, if the wagon was made to transport stones, tahar meklum, it's not makabel tumah, it's not susceptible at all. So the way the Rishonim explained this wagon, it was made out of lattice work of heavy boards, and there were holes between the boards, as Rabbi Yochanan will explain. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan explains, v'im yesh beis kibul remoinim, if the wagon has holes that the pomegranates can fit in those holes, they're not that big, tumas mes. Now, as the Gemara will prove in a minute, which is our sugya, that if the wagon is used for stones and it requires oxen to draw it, it would be makabel tumah unless the holes are very big. But if it requires oxen to carry it, is that considered movable by full? Obviously, it is considered movable when full, even when it requires oxen. Now, the Chazon Ish asks a very obvious question. Rabbi Yochanan says that we have to look at the size of the holes. If the holes are so big that we mine them, pomegranates would fall through those holes, then the wagon is not makabel tumah. If the holes are smaller, it is susceptible to tumah. Ask the Chazon Ish, why are pomegranates the item that I measure with? I should measure with stones, because that's what this wagon is made for. And I should say, if stones will fall through, then it's not makabel tumah. If stones will fall through, then it is not makabel tumah. So the Migdash David answers that from here we see that the size of a hole of a rimon is not because we look at the particular item under examination and we see what is it made for, and based on that we look at what the size of the holes are. What we see from here, says the Midrash Tavit, that is that there's a halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai, that holes the size of a pomegranate make a keli considered broken and not be royal kabbalas tumah. And it makes no difference if it's made for carrying stones or it's made for carrying pomegranates. Continues the Mishnah with the Gemara with another Mishnah in Masechta Kelim. Shalosh teva sein. There are three types of boxes. Teva shepischa mitzida, a chest whose opening is from its side, tumei medris. It's susceptible to tumas medris, certainly also tumas mes. Why? Since the opening is from the side, so somebody could sit or lay on top of it, and we won't tell him, amoy v'nasim lachtenu, please get out of the way, we need to use this chest for its primary purpose, because I could still use the box for its primary purpose because the opening is on the side, so it's susceptible to tumas medris, and certainly it's susceptible to tumas mes. Milmala, if the opening is from the top, tumas mes, it's susceptible to tumas mes, but not to tumas medris. Again, as we explained before, since if somebody's going to sit or lay on top of the chest, we will ask him to leave, and he has to leave, therefore It's not considered a place for sitting or laying, and it's not makabel tumas medrash. It is makabel tumas mess, and as we said before, all other types of tumas. Vabar mida, but a chest which is very big, tahir meklum, it's not makabel any tumah. Now, this Mishnah mentioned in the last case only a very large chest. That's the only chest that's not makabel tumah, because it can't even be schlepped by oxen. But if it's a smaller chest, even though it requires the schlepping by oxen, then it will not be, it will be makabel tumah. It's considered metaltal molly vereken. Tan Rabbanan, says the Gemara Brice, midras klicheres, a klicheres, an earthenware vessel, which is made to sit on or lay on, tar is not makabel tumas medras. Something we'll talk about a lot soon. Rabbi Yossi says, afasrina also a ship. Ask the Gemara, my comer, what's going on here? With Rabbi Yossi speaking about a ship, we start with a midras klicheres, and all of a sudden Rabbi Yossi mentions a ship. Amrazvitz, Rav Svit explains the brisa like this. Hachikam, this is what the brisa says. Midras klicheres tahor, a earthenware vessel, even if it's made for sitting, is mekabel, is not mekabel tuma. Umagoy, but it is mekabel tumas maga. That means if somebody will touch it, and the halacha is an important halacha, that earthenware keli, an earthenware vessel, is different than all other vessels. All other vessels have tumah smaga, tumah by contact, by somebody touching the outside of the vessel. Klicheres is different, where the tumah comes mi'aviroi. The tumah comes from inside. Somebody has to put his hand inside the vessel, and that's when it has tumas maga. On the other hand, it has a chumra, he doesn't even have to touch the walls of the inside. As soon as he puts his hand inside the vessel, it has tumas maga. The svina shel cheres, and a boat made out of cheres, tameya, is susceptible to tumah. Why? Because kechananya. Like Chananya said that earthenware vessels, even those that are not carried when full and empty, are mekabel tumah. Because as Chananya explained, the reason why we set a boat is not mekabel tumah is because we set it by a kli eitz. Now, the Mishnah, the Brice is saying that boats don't have tumas medras. And now the question is, why don't boats have tumas medras? So Tosfos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Divrei Maskil Nimla Mena, explains that since the main purpose of boats is to transport material, so therefore it's not considered something to be made for sitting on. The Rishonim ask, but what will happen with a boat which is made for people, a passenger ship? So Tosfos Masechet Menachos says that even though the use of such a ship does entail people sitting on it, its true purpose is not to bear their weight. Its true purpose is to transport them from one location to another, and that's why it's not subject to tumas medras. The Ramban says a different reason. The Ramban says that even if there are seats on a boat, and even if those seats are made for people to sit on, the people aren't sitting on the boat, they're sitting on the seats, and that's why the seats are not mekabel tumah. Continues the Gemara in explaining the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi says, Afasvina Torah, every boat will not be susceptible to tumah, no matter what material it's made out of, even if it's made out of klicheres, ketan and didon, like the Tan of our Mishnah that says the reason boats are not susceptible to tumah is because the Pasuk says, Derech Aniyah Belev Yam. Maskala Rapapa, ask Rapapa, if that's the explanation of the Braisa, my af, what does it mean when Rabbi Yossi said the ship is also susceptible to tumah? When it says also, it seems to mean that Rabbi Yossi is adding to what the Tanakhama said. But if the Tanakhama holds like Hananya that boats are susceptible to Tumah, then Rabbi Yossi is the one that holds that they're not, so the word af isn't appropriate. El Amar Papa, this is the way you have to explain the Braisa. Hoch Kama. Midras Kli Cheres Tor. An earthenware vessel that is made for sitting is not susceptible to Tumah. Or Magoi, but it is Tumah, it is susceptible to Tumah of Maga. Vishal Eitz, a vessel made out of wood. Bein Midrasoi, whether it's made when it's sitting, or Bein Magoi, or for contact, Tumah. Vesvinas Hayarde, the small boat that is used in the Yarden, Tahira, is still not going to be Makabel Tumah. Why? Because the Tanakama holds Katana, they don't like the Tana of our Mishnah, that says the reason boats are not Makabel Tumah is because the Pasuk says, Derech Aniyah Belev Yam, boats go in the ocean, anything that goes in the ocean is not Makabel Tumah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi is going to hold the Afas Svinah Tumah, even a boat made, which is a Svinah Sayadin, even a small boat is Makabel Tumah. Why? Because he holds Chananya, that he holds that the reason boats are not Makabel Tumah is because they have to be metalta mole vereken, they have to be movable when they're full and they're empty, and Svinas HaYardin are metalta mole vereken. Now Rashi points out the Rapapa didn't really need to bring in the case about Svinas Eitz, about a wood keli. He could have just said that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi are arguing about a kli cheres, and the Tanakhama holds that a boat made out of cheres is not susceptible to tumah because he holds like the Tanavah Mishnah, and Rabbi Yossi holds it is mekabel tumah, and the word also would be just as justified, since the Tanakhama began his statement with inclusion of kli cheres in tumas maga. So therefore, the word af would be coming to say, you say kli cheres has tumas maga, but it doesn't have tum of a boat, and I tell you that it even has tum of a boat. Why did Rav Papa have to mix in a kli eitz? So Rashi says, since most boats were made out of wood, not made out of cheres, that's why Rav Papa wanted to include boats made out of cheres in the out of eights in the discussion of this brisa to make the brisa more relevant. Now, we no matter how we learn pshat in this brisa, everybody learns that a earthenware keli, even one designated for sitting, is not susceptible to tumah. Ask the Gemara, or medris kli cheres menolan d'tar. How do we know that an earthenware keli which is designated for sitting is still not makabel tumas medris? Amechiskia, damekra, because the pasuk which discusses Azov's couch, which has tumas medris, says v'ish asher yigav b'mishkova, makish mishkova loy. The Torah compares the Zov's couch to the Zov himself. Mahu islay tahar b'mikvah, just like Azov could be purified by going to the mikvah. Af mishkov nam is letar b'mikvah. What type of a mishkov, what type of a couch, of a seat, of a zov can be susceptible to tumah? The one that could be purified in a mikvah. However, a kli cheres, as we know, cannot be purified in a mikvah. And Tosfos points out that it's not a perfect comparison because a zov doesn't just have to go to the mikvah. Not any mikvah will purify a zov. A zov has to immerse himself in mayim chayim, in a living spring of water. But yet, said Tosfos, the point is that he has, this is the way Rishonim explained, that he has a method of purification by tefillah, which does not apply to a kli cheres. The Rebbe Shmuel Tana, he says a different source, how we know that a medras kli cheres is tar, because the pasuk says kemishkav nidasa yelo. Again, the Torah compares the couch of a nidah to herself. Makish mishkav lo. The Torah compares the couch of a nidah to her. Ma he is leitar b'mikvah. Just like a nidah can be purified by going into the mikvah, af mishkav nami is leitar b'mikvah. So to its couch, what kind of couch is susceptible to tumas medrus by nida, the one that could be purified by going to the mikveh. Lefuki kli cheres, the less like tarav mikveh, it comes to exclude a kli cheres, which a couch or anything made out of kli cheres cannot be purified in a mikveh. It's very interesting. Rashi in Masecht Erevin quotes this Gemara, and there Rashi says that the reason a kli cheres, a medrash kli cheres, the kli cheres made for sitting, is not susceptible to tumah, is because a kli cheres, when you sit on it, it's a delicate material, and a kli cheres, when you sit on it, will break. Ask Rav Akiva Eiger. Our Gemara just said two reasons why medrash kli cheres is not susceptible to tumah. And actually, in Amud Beis, we're going to see a third reason. So where does Rashi come to bring in a new reason which we don't find in the Gemara? So the Chassam Sofer, in answer to Rabbi Kivega's question, says like this. Of course Rashi knew the two, three reasons that are mentioned in our Gemara. But Rashi was bothered with a different question. True, based on the sources that we just learned, Kli Cheres is not Mekabel Tumah Midaraisa. But maybe it should be susceptible to Tumah Midrabbanan. Why don't Rabbanan make a Gzeira on Kli Cheres? That's why Rashi says, you know why Chazal, the Rabbanan, did not make a Gzeira on Kli Cheres? Because since Kli Cheres are very delicate, then when you sit on it, you'll break it. That's why Chazal did not see the need to make a Gzeira that Medrash Kli Cheres should be Tumah even with Rabbanan. The Migdash David says another reason. The Migdash David says, he brings a Tosefta that says that kli zchuchis, that if you'll have a couch or a bed made out of glass, will also not have a tumas medrash, will also not be susceptible to tumah by sitting on it. And the question is, it's difficult to understand that tesefta, says the Migdash David. Because if we're saying that the reason something is or is not mekabel tumas medrash is if it has purification in a mikveh, kli zchuchis, glassware, can be purified in a mikveh. So why is midras kli zchuchis not mekabel tumas medrash? So that's why, says the Migdash David, Rashi tells us a new reason. The reason is that anything that will break when you sit on it is not mekabel tumas medrash. Glassware certainly will break if somebody sits on it, and that's why, even though they can be purified in a mikveh, they're still not mekabel tumas medrash. Masa Rav Ila. So Rav Ila asked the question. Mapitz b'neis minayim. The Braisa says, from where do we know that a reed mat is susceptible to tumas mess, even though it doesn't have a kli kibble, even though it doesn't have a receptacle? Because as we learned before, when the Torah spoke about kli eitz, we said that for a kli eitz, for a wood utensil to be susceptible to tumah, it has to have a kli kibble. It has to be a container. It has to have a receptacle. Pshuti kli eitz, flat wooden utensils, will not be susceptible to tumas maga. This braisa seems to say that even though it doesn't have tumas maga, it will have tumas mess. Says the Gemara, how do we know that? That it has tumas mess? Bedinu. So the Gemara says, I learned it with a kav choymer. Mak pachim ktanim. If small earthenware vessels, shetoyer and bezov, don't have tumas zov, still tumay and bemeis, still have tumas mess, mapits of mat, shetumimizav, which has tumas medrash, because it's made for laying on, certainly, and it didn't, shetumimimiz. So first let's explain why small earthenware vessels are not susceptible to any tumas zav. So Rashi explains, tumas medrash, certainly they don't have, because they're not made to sit on. And like we explained earlier, even if somebody will sit on it, it won't make a difference because we'll tell them, it's not made to be sit on. It's also not going to have tumas Maga, because we explained before that Tumas Maga by Kli Cheres means that you have to be able to put your finger inside the vessel. Since they're small vessels, they don't have Tumas Maga because the Zov can't put his finger in it. They also don't have Tumas Hesed, which we discussed yesterday, meaning something that the Zov carries. So Rashi explains that anything that doesn't have Tumas Negiya, Tumas Maga, also doesn't have Tumas Hesed and Tumas Masa. So even though it didn't have Tumas Masa, Tumas Hesed, Tumas Maga, Tumas Medris, it still has Tumas Mes, it's still susceptible to Tumas Mes. So Mappets, which has Tumas Medris, because that's what a Mappets is all about, it's made to lay on, and it didn't shave Tumas Mes. Vamai, ask the Gemara, but why are you saying, you're assuming that a reed mat is susceptible to Tumas Medris of Azov, Halas Leitar B'Mikvah? It can't be put into a mikvah. Why? Because what type of a Kli Eitz has tahara b'mikvah? The one that's similar to a sack that has a kli kibbel, that has a receptacle. This flat mat doesn't have a receptacle. So if it doesn't have a receptacle, it's not privy to tahara b'mikvah. We just learned on Amud Aleph that anything that's not privy to tahara b'mikvah cannot have tumas medris. So how are we saying in this brisa, asked the Gemara, that a mappets is metametumus meris? Amalei Rav Chanina. So Rav Chanina answers, shani hasam, there's no question by remat. Why? Hoyel v'ikka b'minoi. True, this particular mat, this particular wood keli, doesn't have a kli kibbel. But there are wood kelim that have a kli kibbel, and therefore have tahara b'mikvah. So since wood is the type of material that can have tahara b'mikvah, even if the particular wood item that I'm looking at doesn't have tahara b'mikvah, it doesn't make a difference. Before we go weiter, there's a beautiful vort that I saw. We all know the parasha in Chumash where Yaakov Avinu, after he left Lavan's home, had confrontation with the Malach. He was limping. Why was he limping? Because the Malach hit him. So Rashi explains what happened. Rashi explains that Yaakov Avinu had transported his entire family to the other side of the river, and he went back for Pachim Ketanim. He went back for the small vessels that he left on the other side. So Rashi asks, why did he go back for the Pachim Ketanim? So Rashi says, Mikan Shetzadikim Mimonim Chavale Megufam. Tzadikim are very concerned about their physical possessions. Shepfisha ain't poached them yidem against, because they don't steal. So everything they own is very valuable to them, because they only attain their physical things in legitimate matters. That's how Rashi explains. Other Mepharshim say, based on this Gemara and something that we spoke about earlier, Lavan was a guy. Yesterday we said the goyim are metame b'zov. That Chazal said that every guy has a din of a zov. We also know that Lavan, when Yaakov Avinu left his home and his avodah zarah was stolen, went from tent to tent of Yaakov's to check all the vessels if his avodah zarah is hidden in them. Once he touched those vessels, they all became tameh. The only vessels that could not have become tameh with tumas zov were the pachim ketanim, because we just learned in our Gemara that pachim ketanim are not susceptible to tumas zov. Yaakov Avinu was careful that he should only use kelim that are tahor. So that's why he went back for the pachim ketanim, because the pachim gedolim he couldn't use, because they had become tameh from love and touching them. The only kelim Yaakov Avinu could use were pachim ketanim. That's why, even though they were small, insignificant kelim, Yaakov Avinu had to go back for them. Now, going back to our Gemara, so we now have a machloikis, Rav Chanina and Rabbi Lo, if we have a vessel made out of a material which does to have tahara b'mikvah, but this particular vessel doesn't have tahara b'mikvah, is it susceptible to tumah or not? Rav Chanina says it will be susceptible to tumah smedris, and Rav Loi says it won't. Amalei, so Rav Loi said to Rav Chanina, Rachmanu l'tzlama haidata, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from the way you understand this Gemara. If this particular mat doesn't have tahara b'mikvah, can't be put into a mikvah, the fact that it's made out of wood and other wood kalim do have tahara b'mikvah, that should make a difference. So Rav Chanina says to Rav Loi, Adi Rabbi, just the opposite. Rachmanu l'tzlama ha'idatach tido, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from your opinion. V'tamamai, what's the reasoning for Rav Chanina? Because if you look at it at first glance, Rav Loi makes more sense. Because as we said on Amud Aleph, the Torah compared Tumas Medris to the Zov. And we said that that comparison teaches us that if, then in order for Tumas Medris to be relevant, it has to be something that has purification in the mikvah. This reed mat doesn't have purification in the mikvah, because it doesn't have a kli kibble, it doesn't have a receptacle. So what is Pshat Rav Chanina? So Rav Chanina tells you, I'll tell you why I said what I said. He says, Trei Kroi Ksivim, the two psukim written regarding the tumah status of a zov's couch. Ksiv, one pasuk says, V'ish asheyiga b'mishkovoi, somebody will touch his couch. So this pasuk compares him, the zov, to his couch. But there's another pasuk. Ksiv, kol ha-mishkov asheyishkov lo b'zov yitma, any couch that the zov will lie upon will be tumah. Now, it doesn't say it particularly dissolves. So here we're not so strongly comparing dissolve to his couch. Hakeitzad, how do we reconcile these two psukim? The way we reconcile it, says Rav Chanina, very good. Yesh b'minoi, if the couch is made out of a material, that afagav the lesle tab mikvah, even if this particular couch can't be put into mikvah. Why? It's a reed mat. It's a mappets that doesn't have tahara b'mikvah. Ain't, then it's still mekabel tumas medris. But ain't b'minoi. But if nothing made out of this material has tahara b'mikvah. For example, kli cheres, earthenware, which never has tahara b'mikvah. The only way you could purify kli cheres is by breaking them. Shviroson, breaking them, zui taroson. Makish mishkav aloi. Then we will say it would also not have Thomas Medris. Rav Amar, Rav now gives a different explanation how we know that a Kli Cheres is not susceptible to Thomas Medris. Medris Kli Cheres Tor, that a Kli Cheres doesn't have Thomas Medris, I know from here. It says, regarding, as we said before, that any vessel, any utensil that's in the oil hames, that is in the same house as a corpse, is mekabel tumas mes. So the pasuk speaks about earthenware vessels in that house. And the pasuk says, v'chol kli psuach, any open vessel made out of earthenware, ashe ain't somit pasul lof, that has no cover fastened onto it, it's tamei. Hayesh somit pasul lof, if it does have a covering, tahor. Now, Mila skinan, aren't we talking the yachdin al ishtay nida? That this vessel that we're talking about, this earthen vessel, we could also be talking about a vessel that was designated for his wife when she's a nida to sit on. The kamrach manat tar, yet the Torah says that it's tar. So this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. We have here an earthenware vessel that is suitable for sitting. It was in fact passively designated for sitting, and it serves as a mechitza, it serves as chatzitza between the mace or the tumas mace that's in this oil and whatever in the keli. Now the halacha is that something which is susceptible to tumah cannot serve as a mechitza between tumah and what's in it. So if this earthenware couch is susceptible to Tumas Medris, how could it be a mechitza between what's in the keli, what's in the earthenware utensil, and the Tumas mess that's in the house? It must be that it is not a mechitza. It's a couch. So we see from here that an earthenware couch, since it's made out of earthenware, is not susceptible to Tumah. The Rishash asks, why do we have to say that it's talking about that it was designated by somebody for his wife when she's a nida? The point is that it's designated for sitting. And he doesn't answer the question. From here we see an interesting shayla. We're not going to paskin laloch lamais on the shayla, but we're saying here that pshuti kleitz, flat pieces of wood, are not mekabel tuma. We also just learned in the Gemara that anything that's not mekabel tuma could serve as a chatzitza, could serve as a separation between tuma and tahara. So possibly, we always have the shayla about kohanim going on planes that are carrying Rechmal Tzlan bodies of Niftarim. If we could have a Pshuta Kleitz between the upper part of the plane and the lower part of the plane, and if a Pshuta Kleitz, as we're learning this Gemara today, is not Mekabel Tuma, so that would accomplish that there would be a Mechitza between the Kahanim and the Tumah.